Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We basically wrote down the letters and then wrote down what each letter would mean. So it could have been get up and proceed, give up on procrastination. Like, there was so many different names. And then we asked ourselves what we want it to represent and what we're doing with the interviews. Yeah. And we found out that in the interviews, we're trying to inspire and entertain young people. So we called it Great Understanding and Power. So through like the interviews and stuff, you will get the power and the knowledge to go and do what you want to do.
Hi, welcome to Blacktickulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Blacktickulate. If this is the first time you're coming to it, we feature young UK black professionals where we find out exactly, or we try to find out how they do what they do, so you guys can, or you guys can too, something along those lines. Yes, Ibi, are you Muslim?
No, you know, okay. I'm from Sierra Leone.
Ah, I
and
see.
Literally, there's like 10,000 Ibrahim Kamaras. Like 10,000.
LinkedIn is peak if they're trying to find you.
No, I've got a very good profile on LinkedIn, actually.
Yeah, so are you the first one that pops up?
I probably should be. I think so. Yeah, I should be still.
All right, guys. So the voice you're hearing is Ibrahim. And Ibrahim, I'm going to throw it to you because I always do this with my guests. Tell us who you are, what you do, and we'll just chop it up from there.
Yeah, so my name's Ibrahim Kamara. 24.
Jeez, young out here, man.
Yeah, actually, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm very young.
You are young. Don't even say, oh, you are young and you're killing the game.
Yeah, 24. And I am the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Guap.
What's Guap?
What it started as was the world's first video magazine. Basically, we use a technology called augmented reality to bring our print to life. So all our interviews are in like video format. So you'll scan the pages of like the print magazine and then the interviews will play to you. So rather than reading it, you watch it.
That's big.
Yeah, so that's initially what we started as. But the message we were pushing across was trying to like document, showcase and discover emerging talent within like music, fashion, arts, business. Basically, if you was like a young creative or young entrepreneur doing sick things, we would want to like interview you to show other young people that there are people your same age group doing sick things and not doing the set routes. So just like giving them like tangible role models and relatable role models to look up to. So that's what we started as.
Boy.
Yeah. And now it's grown into, I'll say like a youth brand with the same ethos. But now we have the magazine. We have like an online version of the magazine. So like an online website. Right. We have a YouTube channel. We do events. And we have an agency side of Guap where we work with brands engage with our audience.
Hey, you guys are smashing it. Yeah. And that's how you came on my radar. In fact, I had the fortune of interviewing one of your staff members, brand talent manager, Shanice. Shout out.
Shani the queen.
Hey, telling you, she's smashing it. So look out for that episode, guys, because that would have been released by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
I want to start from almost the beginning because... Yeah. Was this one of them things where everyone around you was killing
it? Nah, you know it is, yeah.
Yeah.
If we're going really background.
For real, you said you jumped in that you're from Sierra Leone.
So my dad and mum. Actually, you know what? I'm not even fully Sierra Leonean. I found this out like 2 years ago. Like, my mom's actually from Guinea, but she was raised in Sierra Leone. So I'm actually 50-50.
Okay.
So I started telling people I'm mixed race. But yeah, literally, my dad and mom, for as long as I know, they've kind of been in business. So my dad has like a money transfer business / internet shop in Peckham as well. And he literally had that my whole life. When my dad and mum separated, my mum still had that business aspect to her, but she kind of went down the charity route. So right now my mum runs a charity for disabled people in Sierra Leone.
What's it called? Give it a shout out.
DIFSIL. So Disabled International Foundation Sierra Leone. So yeah, both my parents have kind of just taken their world into their own hands.
Yeah.
So I haven't ever seen someone in my family do the route of
nine to five,
yeah, like that's, I've never seen that in my life, kind of thing. So I guess that's kind of had some sort of influence on me.
100%. Because this is interesting that your dad dealt with financial, like, sort of sector, and your mum dealt with charity, like, you know, the third sector. And almost what you do
is in the middle.
It kind of have you noticed that?
Yeah. You say, as you was just about to say that, I knew what he was going to say, and I never realized until you basically said it.
Because the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, clearly. And I'm wondering, did you ever seen, and I want to speak more about your dad's finance business, were you ever short of money, if that makes sense, or were you like financially literate? Because I think for something in our community, I'm going to put my hands up, like I've never known myself personally how to deal with money moving forward. So I'm curious the fact that that was your almost your world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Yeah. When I used to live with my dad and mum, actually, no, I'm going to get like real personal with this. So when I used to live with my dad and mum, they were like one of the only people doing money transfer to Sierra Leone and stuff. So they became like the main force in that sector. So we were rich, like really rich. My mum was even speaking to me the other day, like we were really rich. I was young. I didn't know we was rich. I just knew there was no struggle.
Yeah.
When my dad and mum split, there was like a mortgage on the house at the time kind of thing. But my dad is the one that left the house, innit? Because basically, he beat up my older sister. And then, yeah, like, police had to have him, like, away from the kids and stuff. So he had to leave. But my mum was, like, mad dependent on my dad at that time kind of thing. Yeah, so I remember coming home after school one day, and literally just seeing all our stuff outside. The doors of our house was, like, barred. Like, they repossessed the house. And, like, my mum was just on the couch, like, crying kind of thing. And then I think from that period of time, that's when like I knew what struggle was. So I must have been like, 12 or something. And I remember we were like homeless for like a day or something. And then we got put into like temporary accommodation, but literally had to sleep on the floors. There was like nothing in the house kind of thing. But my mum has 6 kids. Imagine me like a single mom with 6 kids. Like it's not a joke. So,
and that's why without trying to get off topic, that's why women in my head or mothers,
they're strong,
they are the pillars of strength,
they're strong.
It's just crazy what they go through. So I guess when you were going through that, I'm just gonna almost fast forward because I feel like this will be interesting for me anyway, is whilst your parents are getting through a divorce or splitting up, where are you in the ranking of your siblings?
Middle child.
You're the middle. Okay. Yeah, what does that mean?
You know, it's, I'm the middle child, so I get the best of both worlds. However, I play the role of the older child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. I'm like a breadwinner in my fam kind of thing. Like, my older siblings don't really take on the responsibility of like looking after their younger siblings, etc. So I do everything my older siblings didn't do for me.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I hear that.
So like my younger siblings, they're blessed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because of your current situation or just always?
Just in terms of mindset. So let's say if you see my little brother, you understand that he's like a total replication of everything that I am now.
Oh, really?
But better, because he's younger. But I've given him so much knowledge at a younger age. I've helped divert him from all the like bull crap that's around right now.
Yeah,
and he's like very focused right now. That's not stuff I had to like do all of that stuff myself. So I had to try and be a gangster at a point in my life, or I had done this, I had done that, and then I had to come to my own path by myself, where he doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, speak more on that, because you're saying obviously you went through, and I know what you mean, you're obviously being a roadman, trying to find your identity, but then you quit all of that. What was a trigger? What was a catalyst?
So like, let's say during school, while all this stuff was happening, obviously I tried to make money, kind of thing.
When you say all the stuff was happening?
No, so like all the stuff with like my family and stuff, tried to make money. So I would do like both legal and illegal ways, innit? So I would, like legal ways, I would just like go buy donuts or something and then sell them in the playground. Just like those little hustles. But I guess those have made me what I am today. But I went all through trying to be somebody that I wasn't, because I was always like the person that was smart but bad.
Right, yeah.
So like in my social groups, I was the smart one, but everyone else was kind of like, not dumb, but they weren't academically smart. Right. So like teachers always used to say to me, oh, you got so much potential, you're wasting it, blah, 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 kind of thing. And then I think in college.
This is what, 16, 17?
Yeah, in college, I was just like weighing up my options. I used to read while I was in school, but it became a myth while I was in like, 11 to, let's say, college. And then I read again and I started taking in different pieces of information. And I think that kind of like just triggered me to focus again.
Do you remember what books?
The first book that changed my mentality was that Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't even know how I came across it.
Right.
But it was definitely that book. I remember that was the summer before I went to uni.
Seen Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys, as always, I'll try and put down the show notes. Yeah. Still, yeah.
That one gave me all the knowledge on about financial wealth, like the mentality of money, the mentality of being rich, etc., etc. Because I find when you're from a place of like struggle and stuff, everybody wants to be rich and everyone thinks about being rich fast. But no one like thinks about wealth and like for the future generations, etc., etc. And when you're not poor, but poor, relatively poor, you think that money is the answer to everything, or kind of thing. And that book kind of taught me that it's more in the mind rather than the actual asset kind of thing.
I hear that.
The habits we learn being poor, quote unquote, will keep us poor forever.
It's limiting.
Yeah,
it
basically.
Is. It really is. It puts you within certain narratives and boundaries and restrictions. Ibs, I'm with you on that 100%. So you brought us into your college days, where you obviously now starting to read prior to uni, start to get off the street life. But in the meantime, you're still being entrepreneurial, trying to see how you can turn a profit with donuts and whatnot, right?
First off, I weren't like deep into streets, so I don't want people thinking I was like a road man. Like I weren't deep into street. Just at that time, innit, like being a road man was the cool thing, innit. And when you don't know yourself, you try and follow a trend, innit. So
yeah,
and I used to be a grime MC. So
I saw a video. Yeah,
exactly. So I used to be a grime MC. So it was all part of the persona.
I don't know. I want to almost pause you on that, because I don't like the rhetoric of how grime, the music industry of grime, influences or begets violence and, you know, street life. There's a correlation. Is it true or is it not true?
I think it's true.
You know what? You're the best person. No, I think it's true.
Like, it's the same thing as like what drill music is now. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like there definitely is a correlation, because with the grime culture, a lot of it happens with like clashing and stuff.
Okay.
And clashing is very confrontational. So you have to be able to hold your own. If, let's say, someone says something you don't like, or someone tries to violate you, run it, like, really, it all goes down to like pride and ego. But that's part of it, isn't it? I don't think the new school grime is violent or anything, but old school one wasn't violent, but it was therefore, if you say the wrong thing, it might escalate to something. I don't think like that's what it's like now.
Okay, so I get that. So that's because you're into grime, so naturally.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing you with that. So, like,
you said about the...
I'm liking your transition, because I'm seeing it, and I'm hoping every listener can actually hear that. It's one of them situations where you're like, okay, I'm into this scene, and unfortunately this scene is, as a byproduct, a little bit violent. But I'm like, actually, I'm more than that, because I want to be smarter. I want to make sure I have wealth as opposed to short-term riches. Mm-hmm. So what are your moves? What are your next steps?
So like I said, I was like very academically smart. And to be honest, I was like the first person in my family to go to uni. And that's what I'm saying. Like, my older siblings didn't really give a good examples, a good follow. Path. Do you know what I'm saying? So I decided to go to uni, I think just because I didn't know what else I wanted to do. Obviously, African parents, that sort of pressure. So I just went to University of Kent and I studied accounting and finance. I probably think that probably links back to me being a young person and do like the Excel stuff, because even in college I'd done accounting and I was good with maths and stuff. And like, speaking to you now is just making sense. But yeah, that's what I'd done. Yeah, I'd done accounting and finance. And yeah, it's probably just like my parents.
And was it, you did it because it was easy as well, and yeah, something you knew.
Yeah.
But you felt like having a degree was important.
I didn't think it was important, to be honest. I just done it. I kind of, going to uni was my plan B. I knew that I always wanted to express myself in the way I wanted to express myself. But I knew I didn't know how to at that time. So I just done the degree because accounting wasn't hard for me.
I think, especially in this day and age, and God, you're 24 as well, so you're young, and you know going into uni, you're going to amass some debt.
Yeah.
So you've got to know why you're going to uni, mm-hmm. and what the goal is after you get that, mm-hmm. you know, your papers. That's why I was wondering, like, yeah. why?
And my year was the first year it turned to like 9K.
Jeez, peak.
But you know, it has its pros and its benefits, because I feel like the pros is, you're probably never going to get that same amount of money just dashed to you
right,
at one time. Yeah. And that kind of thing. And with me, I used a lot of that money to like invest in stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
well, what did you invest in?
Like, I learned how to like trade and stuff while I was in uni.
Like the stock market?
Yeah, like stocks and like Forex and stuff. The thing. Like, Guap is like one side of me, but I've got so many different sides to me. But I'm literally like self-taught in everything I do. But yeah, while I was there, because I never ever had a job in uni, so I had to make money somehow. So I just like learned like how to trade on the Forex markets, just watching videos and actually losing money to make money, etc., etc.
So there you are. So you're studying accountancy, right, in university, and then you graduate.
Yeah,
3 years down the line.
Yeah.
What are you doing post graduation? What's going on?
You know what? Yeah. I was meant to do a placement year, and me not getting a placement year is how Guap got started. So I remember being in like second year, like trying to find a job. And I was raised thinking the smarter you are, the easier it is you get a job.
Right.
Yeah. When it came to the application process, I realized that was bullcrap. And I really struggled to find a placement. And
why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, I'm not one of those people that say, if it didn't happen because it didn't happen, it wasn't meant to happen. Because right. if it happened, I wouldn't be here today. Do you get what I'm saying? Right. Like, I'm not going to think about the reasons as to why or why it didn't or why I should have. If I was meant to get it, I would have got it.
Right.
I'm like, I feel like that whole mentality is like not an excuse mentality, but
it's a poor narrative.
It's a poor narrative. Like, you're trying to portray your world onto someone else, or trying using your own perception of things to explain why something didn't happen when it could have just been because it didn't happen.
No, I get that. But I mean, you and I, we're not naive to know that there is institutional
100%.
And systematic
100%
things that do prevent or make it more difficult.
100%. Okay. And I don't really have like a white name or anything. Yeah. So, but
regardless, anyway,
I did it. I'm here today.
And we thank God it didn't happen, because Guap was
everything happens for a reason. That's one thing I know. So, but, and I actually said that to myself. So I had,
you're looking for a placement.
For a placement. And the last interview I ever had was with a company called PwC, which is like a
PricewaterCooper.
Yeah. Like they're like a top four in it. I actually got through to like the final stages and stuff.
Damn, man.
And then I remember they was meant to get back to me, and they didn't get back to me, but they told me they was going to get back to me. So literally, I had mad anxiety for like a whole month. Right. Literally, every single time my phone would beep, I'd think it's an email. If I got like a phone call, I'd think it's them. And I just remember feeling so needy and like worthless kind of thing, because I just felt like I was giving them so much power over me.
Over your
state.
And
then I kind of said to myself, if I don't get this job, I'm never doing this process again, kind of thing. I didn't get the job overseas.
Yeah.
And yeah, I basically said, I'm going to start a business in January 2015, yeah. And then with my business partner, Guap came around. But I made that decision that I'm never doing that whole job application process ever again, because it made me doubt myself so much. And I know I'm good. I know I have value. But that whole process made me doubt my value. And I said, yeah, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, that feeling, that state of mind and just well-being is horrible. Yeah. And then Guap came. So tell me about Guap, since now we're here. First and foremost, love the name.
Thank
obviously,
you.
Money. Yeah.
But you know what it stands for? It has an acronym.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the slang, like Guap, you know, you need some cash.
Nah, that's what it started as, but that's not what it is.
Okay, well, okay, listen, the floor is yours. Just tell me about the genesis of it.
So, okay, so I didn't get that placement. And at the time, my business partner was going into his placement.
Right.
So in our third year, I was in university and he was doing a placement.
Right.
But the summer before we went back into like third year, we must have had a conversation, because we went same college, but we weren't really close.
Right, gotcha.
Kind of thing. And then we went same uni, but again, we weren't really that close. But I think one summer evening, we linked up for some reason. And then we kind of spoke to each other a lot. And then we kind of realized that we have like the same mentality. Then he told me that he had set up an investment group with some of our other friends. Yeah. And what it was like, we say an investment group, but it was like a group of friends who would come together to invest in ideas together. So we had a meeting in like Surrey Quays. And like he gave me like a presentation in his vest. Like literally brought out the laptop, like so serious. Went through the slides with me and explained to me the whole concept of the investment group. And I was like, yeah, I like it. I'm in it. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's amazing, by the way. And that is, honestly, guys, anyone listening, highly recommend, recommend 100%. That. 100%. Right? With your peoples, left, right, and center.
100%. Even one of the businesses that I said I'm starting, that's with like two of my friends, from school.
The group.
Yeah, no, from a different set of friends, like two of my closest friends. They're not even in business like that, but it's an opportunity that we can work together on. So
amazing.
They're just doing it.
So my man's in his vest, he tells
my man's in his vest, gave me the presentation, and then I was like, yeah, I'm in it. And then we worked on an idea called AF Party, which was like a traditional African party for university students. Yeah. And we done it in Canterbury at our university, and it was a complete shambles. As in, no, seriously, like complete shambles. As in, food ran out.
Oh, damn.
Performers came late. People wanted refunds on the night. Like, it was crazy.
Oh, man.
But within that process, we found out that me and him specifically work really well together.
Right.
And then we was on the phone. We even remember the date, January the 9th, yeah, we was in the phone. At this time, it was like, I think probably like 12 or 1 a.m. I was in my girlfriend's bed at that time. Right. Yeah, in Hertfordshire. And we were just speaking about how we've done really well with this whole AF Party thing, even though we know we're going to like lose money, but we've learned so much, et cetera, et cetera. So like kind of just bigging each other up. And then within that conversation came the idea for Guap. And that was like a week before the AF Party.
Okay.
So we had the idea for Guap and was like, oh, sick, we're going to make bare money. Because what Guap actually started as was like a referral system. So like we would have a product and you'd get someone to refer to that product and then you'd get some money.
Well, okay, so affiliation.
Yeah, like affiliate, right. That's what it stemmed as.
Right.
So yeah, we thought it was going to make bare money, blah, blah, blah.
Any products?
Yeah, literally any product. Right. But Jide had told me about having an online newsletter from before. So we kind of used that as the product. So we was going to get university students to subscribe to our online newsletter for a fee, but it was going to be a video magazine, but online. So we researched the definition of a magazine as a collection of items,
right?
Not just a print.
Yeah.
And we didn't like writing and I had a camera. So we were just going to go and shoot the interviews rather than writing them. That's how the whole video magazine concept came about. And yeah, that was going to be the product that people were going to subscribe to. From that point, we literally just worked religiously on getting Guap started.
Earlier on, you said it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Right, what's the full name? As in, like, how did you come up with a name?
You know what, yeah? In that same conversation, we said 3-2-1, and I said Guap. Like, that's how it came. So it was literally 3-2-1, Guap, because before it was going to make bare money, so we called it Guap. And then we had a meeting, I think, a couple of days after in Citizen M in London Bridge. And then even I've got, because right now I've got like a box of everything that's Guap from when we started till now. And literally in one of the books, we basically wrote down the letters and then wrote down exactly like what each letter would mean. So it could have been get up and proceed, give up on procrastination. Like, there was so many different names. And then we asked ourselves what we want it to represent and what we're doing with the interviews. Yeah. And we found out that in the interviews, we're trying to inspire and entertain young people. So we called it Great Understanding and Power. So through like the interviews and stuff, you will get the power and the knowledge to go and do what you want to do.
Great Understanding and Power. Yeah, go on.
So that's what it stands for.
Nice. And then post that, you on people's radar. Mm-hmm. Let's not be around the bush. Mm-hmm. To the point where I think most recently you did a collaboration with Nike, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you get invited to a lot of, I guess, high profile events, mm-hmm. particularly with big corporations that are looking to tap into the
audience,
the youth, quote unquote, urban market. Yeah, yeah. So how are you from something that was just going to be an affiliation sort of marketing?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
In a magazine, mm-hmm. how then did you almost pivot to make sure it's actually more to do with who's on the scene, who's aspiring, and like, mm-hmm. tell me about that, Jim.
So, like I said, our thing has always been about emerging talent and people within our scene that are doing stuff that don't really have a platform. So when we came into this, we knew we didn't want to be like a music platform predominantly, because literally the only other urban platforms, they're all specifically just the music. Right. But and we realized when we was growing up, literally as like a black man or black boy from South London, you're either looking up to like rappers, you're either looking up to footballers and stuff, or you're looking up to the Roadmen. Like, those were the three people we would look up to for inspiration, kind of thing. So we wanted to show that there's other people that are doing crazy stuff. So like photographers, managers, etc., etc., show them that you can be those kind of things. So we started going out and looking for those type of people and giving them a platform. And a lot of people appreciated us reaching out to them, because most people wouldn't go and interview a photographer. Most people wouldn't go and interview, let's say, a manager on kind of thing. So we organically made relationships with a lot of young creatives, and the bigger they got, the bigger we would get, because literally we're all growing together. So
that's the one, man. Growth together, go
our
far.
Thing is like very opportunity based and very collaborative based. Like, literally all our covers have been shot by upcoming photographers or upcoming stylists, and because we are so connected with our audience and we work with them, they're not just an audience that is like far from us. They know we're for them, and obviously we are for them, kind of thing. So we've done that organic thing from the jump to now, and now we're in a climate where brands and stuff want to engage with young creatives and young London kind of thing.
How are you finding these talents?
Finding a talent literally was, well, I'm from Ends, innit? I'm from South London.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Lewisham. Lewisham. Yeah. The scene that we're in now was completely oblivious to us. Like, we never knew that there was creatives and stuff. I read in Jamal Edwards' book, if you want to know your audience, you have to like go to their parties, etc., etc. So that's what we started doing. So literally, we would go to like so many different creative events with our first ever magazine and just literally speak to bare young creatives and tell them what Guap is on the spot. I remember even being in Catford once, I saw a guy that looked like a creative or what I thought looked like a creative, went up to him, spoke to him about Guap. A year down the line, he was performing at one of our events. So it's like we were literally very much on the ground.
Yeah,
and that. Then by doing that, we followed a lot of people and started following a lot of people's journeys. And when we would interview one person, their friends,
their network, their recommendation,
they would know Guap from that. And then we would be able to find people from their network. And it started from the ground. Then social media has now allowed us to like just see who's working. Like if you come up on our radar now, you must be doing good things kind of thing. So yeah, that's how we...
I hear that. So it wasn't necessarily like a specific criteria. You were just like, listen, we haven't got someone like you. Would you like to be featured?
Literally, we would go into a room and have the mindset that because of our platform, we have the opportunity to interview anyone.
Mm.
So because we're not just music based, we can interview models, we can interview photographers, we can interview stylists, we can interview literally anyone because our platform is for creatives and entrepreneurs. We're like one of the only platforms putting urban creatives and entrepreneurs together on one platform. Usually they're like separated, but the same way you could get a entrepreneur on one of our front covers, you could get a blogger on one of our front covers, you could get a music artist on one of our front covers. Like, it's very much varied.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Since I keep on repeating this, and I hope I don't sound like a broken record, but since you are blowing up, can you recall a time or something that was specific that you're like, oh shit, okay, we are starting to get not even just the recognition, but the financial ways for it to start earning itself. And
our very first Guap party. Yeah, okay. That was in January 2016.
Right.
It was like a sold out event. Like literally like the whole venue was jam packed.
Where was it?
Dogstar Brixton.
Okay.
We had like a big line outside and we made quite a bit of money on that day. And that was the first time we've ever done like a proper event in this scene. Right. So when that happened, I was like, we're onto something. And then I guess another time would be like when the brand started getting in contact with us.
What was your first brand, do you recall, that came in contact with you?
I'd say Nike, not the one we just done. We done another thing with them a couple months back. In terms of like big brands.
Yeah, for sure. Nike. What did who came to you? Like one of the PR managers?
Yeah, literally just like an account manager, a PR person.
Did you think it was legit?
No, you know what it is? Let me tell you the story of how the Nike stuff came.
Yeah.
I remember being on my computer, going through my emails, and I literally got an email from, it was either two or three people from Nike. No, it was three. It was three people from Nike. One person asked me for my trainer size, and that's it. They didn't introduce themselves or nothing. They literally just asked me, what's your trainer sizes? And I just sent it back that just hoping I'm going to get something.
Yeah.
The other person kind of told me, oh yeah, they'd like to meet us kind of thing. And then we kind of just went into a meeting and they told us that we've been on their radar and that they like how we shoot our stuff and the type of message we're pushing. Even to this day, we don't even have 10 million views or like we don't have a lot of views
in comparison,
you look at our stuff, it's not like we're getting the most views kind of things, but what we're doing is very impactful and 100%. The message we're pushing is very different to the message everyone else is pushing, so I guess that's how we came to their attention. But I couldn't tell you what video they saw, I couldn't tell you thingy, but it was literally just an email.
Man, and congratulations once again, Ibi, man, and keep on going. I'm just curious, just for my sake, I saw on your Instagram story, you were like, you want to be a mentor, you want to do more mentoring sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you the floor. Is there anything in our conversation that we haven't touched upon, particularly like the roots, resources, best piece of advice? Basically, I'm just giving you the floor to say, you know what, guys, if you listen to me and you want to start.
Okay, yeah. I would say one thing I found with a lot of people, especially like after we do like talks or panels and stuff, is that they come to me and ask, how do you do this or how do you do that kind of thing? And I'm kind of blunt with it because it's like, I feel like if you really wanted to do it, you wouldn't be asking me that question, because I didn't wait for no one to give me the answers when there's the internet. Like, all the answers are on the internet. Even if you don't know me, you could go and find the interview and find out how I done that, or go and find an interview or watch a video of someone else who's done it. Like, if you want to do it, you will do it. And that's why I say this thing. I don't feel like being a, like a quote unquote entrepreneur is a choice. I don't feel you can just choose to be it. I think it's something within you that's waiting to come out.
It's funny because my day job, and you guys who've been with me for a long time know that. So I go up and down the country speaking at conferences, trade shows, universities on behalf of Google.
Oh, sick.
To teach them how to grow their business, their careers, or just confidence online. And when people do also approach me towards the end, or even I have a section at the end where I'm just like, especially if I'm at university, I'd be like, guys, how many of you know exactly what it is you want to do when you leave university? Just raise your hand. And then you get a lot of people raising their hand. And I go, you're never going to do that. And then, you know, people are like, what the? I go, why aren't you doing it now? You know, you've got breaks, you've got opportunities, you're not always in university.
100%.
So why aren't you doing it now? It's just like the notion of, we romanticize things, don't we? Like right now, if I said I wanted to speak French, I want to learn how to speak French.
Why are you not doing it? Yeah, what is stopping you? And I remember even being in like my I even met up with one of my university friends the other day, and we were just reminiscing. Like, I legit, in my final, like before, when we was revising for our final exams, I was legit saying to them, there's no point in me doing this. I'm going to do guap. Like, I don't care for this. Like, right. I was saying to them, I'm going to be your friend that people are going to be like, oh, you know that guy kind of thing. And that's happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was so sure that I was not going to be anywhere near that life ever again after university. And obviously, it wasn't easy, but nothing is easy. Mm. Like, it's not meant to be easy. No, do you know what I'm saying? You just consistency.
But the reward is big.
The reward is that I can wake up and do what I like and make money from it. I think when you're first starting off, not making money would deter a lot of people. And I've had times where I've been broke. Like, and that's the thing with my journey. I've been like very organic and very real. Like, I've put this out there. There was a time where I legit had like £50 or less than £50 to my name, like coming home from a shoot, walking down my road, legit crying. Yeah. Not like, but literally tears coming out of my eyes. And just like, I don't know. I do this thing where I'll be crying, but I'll be laughing at myself for crying, because it's like, I'm saying to myself, it's going to be worth it. Do you know what I'm saying? And at that time, I didn't know how I was going to make money. Do you know what I'm saying? But when you're very value focused and focused on just doing a little every single day to make something happen, the money will come. Like, money is the byproduct of value. Do you know what I'm saying? If you give a lot of value, the money will come. Right now, why money comes to us, because we are able to provide value to bigger brands or institutions by allowing them access to our audience that we have built. And we are still able to make money from our audience because we do stuff like events, but we try and provide value in every way and form. Do you get what I'm saying? With this Nike thing that we just done, in regards to like the media partners, we have the least following. Yeah, on social, we have the least following, but we was the ones that had the most signups. So it's not about how much numbers you have. Do you know what I'm saying? It's about the impact.
Yeah, no, 100%.
How much value you're bringing to your audience.
I hear that. All right, well, Ibs, I do want to wrap it up.
But yeah.
I'll be kicking myself, especially if I don't ask you if there's anything else that you feel we should speak about. Because we've heard about your journey. Are there any like resources, essential resources, let's say, that you use?
My essential resource is YouTube.
YouTube, like, Google, YouTube.
Like, literally just YouTube. Because like I said, everything I do is self-taught.
Mm.
If you want to know how to start a business, you can search how to start a business. Yeah. Like, if you want to do this, you can search how to. Do you know what I'm saying? That's one. I'm sure that's one of the highest keyword searches. Yeah. How to. Do you know what I'm saying?
How so to X. Yeah.
Anything is possible. Do you know what I'm saying? The way I'm speaking right now is the same way I go and speak to anyone, no matter how big they are, relatively how small they are, etc. You have to be yourself at all times. Stay true to yourself and just try and be happy, man, because we're not put out on this earth to just suffer every day.
So what's the goal? Is there, if there was a magic lamp?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the genie comes out, like, what are you hoping for? What's the future saying?
You know what? My goal is just to stay happy. Or just to say, like, in terms of Guap, I just want it to be a global platform doing the same thing we do now. Just obviously expanding.
Yeah.
But in regards to me, I just want to be happy. Me being happy means me, again, waking up, doing what I want and being able to live from it and not having the pressures of society alter what I want to do. I want what I want to do alter society.
We're speaking about happiness. Is there any challenges that we probably overlooked that people need to be aware of in this lifestyle?
I think the main challenge is your mind.
Your mind.
As of recently, I've worked out that actions don't have no emotion.
Okay.
It's our perception of the action that causes the emotion.
Speak more on that. I like it. So, that's profound.
Let's say, if I slap you.
Yeah. Wow, okay, calms.
No. If I, let's just say I slap you. In one side of the world, that might mean I love you. And on another side of the world, that obviously means I want to fight you.
Right.
But the slap itself has no emotion to it. You can choose if that slap means I love you or that slap means I hate you. So the action is the slap, but it has nothing. Even if my intention was to hurt you, you can still choose how you perceive the slap.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the action has no emotion attached to it. It's how we perceive things. Do you get what I'm saying? So in regards to challenges, is only a challenge if you see it as a challenge. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, 100%.
You can either see it as a challenge or you can see it as growth. If something that you're not used to comes to you, you can choose to be like, oh, this is a lesson I'm going to learn. I'm going to tackle it. Because when you say the word challenge, it can kind of...
It inhibits.
Makes you get your guard up. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you open challenge, quote unquote, with open hands, you'll see the better side of it. Because everything has two sides, innit? We live in a world of polarity. Everything has two sides. How you see it is your choice.
It's your choice. Now, hear that. All right, so I always end with quick fire round questions. So your answers, one word or just quick words, right?
Yeah.
Or quick sentences. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So if you could do a TED Talk other than your actual profession or what you're known for, what would it be on?
Staying your authentic self.
Staying your authentic self. Okay, so you got your last £5. What are you spending it on?
Probably my family.
You're spending your last £5 on your family?
Yeah.
What can you buy with £5?
I know, food. Okay. Chicken and chips with a peck of it.
True that. So Black Articulated is Black Action Articulated. What's your favourite word, English word in the dictionary?
Don't have one. I actually don't have one. Just cool.
Guap.
Guap.
Who's the second person that springs to mind when I say the word success?
Richard Branson.
The second? Why. Who's the first?
I don't know. It would have been Richard Branson for both. I don't know why. Nash, you know what? The second would be Jamal Edwards. I don't know why.
Jamal Edwards. Mm. Yeah, now I hear that. Name two people, because I'm always about paying this forward. So name two people within your network that you could recommend, A, to be on Black Articulate, and B, that to you are ones to watch out for.
Jide, obviously my business partner. Jide, you've already done Shanice, it would have been her. Shay Sade. Yeah, she's our music editor, but she's also just joined Nike. She's part of a collective called Ubunifu Space, who document and do like reactions to like African music, but from the UK, and they're like doing quite well.
Amazing. Okay, cool. That's one to watch out. Nice plug. And the penultimate question before I ask people how they can find you on the World Wide Web is, how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as someone who came from nothing but made something doing whatever they liked
to you.
Yeah, whatever they loved. I definitely think you are doing that. And honestly, just keep on. I mean, I don't even have to say it. Mm-hmm. Keep on slaying, man, because you're doing amazing stuff for the community, and really appreciate you for sharing your voice on Blacticulate. So how can the people find you on the World Wide Web? And when they do, is there anything you'd like them to do?
Yeah, literally Ibrahim Kamara _.
How are you spelling Kamara?
K-A-M-A-R-A. Why did I have to think about how I spelled my name? Sure, yeah, so Ibrahim Kamara _ on every social network. Follow me. I'm trying to get to like 10K on like everything by the end of the year. So if you can give me a cheeky follow, shout me on Instagram and Twitter, that'd be amazing. Awesome. Guapmag on everything as well, GUAPMAG, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's funny because you said something about numbers, but you're already verified anyway, so
yeah, I know, but I want 10k because on Instagram, when you get 10k, you can like swipe up and then get people to like go on your links and stuff. That's the only reason why I want it, not for, I don't care for the numbers thing.
I hear that. All right, well, honestly, thanks very much once again. And guys, as always, listen, if there are things that for some reason we didn't ask and we should have asked, hit us up, man, because hopefully we can just ping it to EB. We can get him directly. And yeah, watch this space. Watch Guap.
Sick, sick.
I appreciate it. Take care, guys. Hey, guys. We really appreciate you listening, and if you have any feedback, please leave it in the comment section below. Also, all the info about the guests, the links and the resources we speak about will be in the description below. And last but not least, please, please, please do get in touch if you can teach us how you do what it is you do. Because after all, Blacticulate is all about empowering and upskilling the community. Thanks, guys. You're the best. See you soon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.